You're listening to Fakeologist 55, where we go over the week's Fakeologist news in just 55 minutes. If you'd like to support independent media such as this, please consider a small PayPal subscription at fakeologist.com. Now, here are your hosts, Aberrato and Faye.
Hello, 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 hello.
Fakeologist episode 191. Yeah, that's a scramble of 9/11. You're listening to Fakeologist 55. We start this show at 8:16 p.m. so we can end it in 55 minutes, which coincidentally is at 9:11. We're trying to do the show every week. We try and do it fast. I'm speaking faster than I normally do because we can hardly cram in all the content of the week. And this has been a good week, a very big week. And hello to Faye, my fantastic Swiss co-host.
Bonsoir, Faye, chicas and hombres. I am greeting you from Switzerland. And we have spring since 2 days now, and it's wonderful to be here with you.
And we do not have spring here. I drove through a blizzard today. We had ice, snow. We had a 40-car pileup that I think is probably real because I saw cars all over the place. Winter is still deep in Canada, which is another reason I don't take my snow tires off till the middle of April. Seems crazy, but it is. We had 90-kilometer-hour winds, and it's been ridiculous here. So that's enough of the weather report. Let's go right into my story first, and I've lowered the sound of the bumper. Because apparently it was too loud. Some of my sounds are kind of uneven.
Yeah, you got reclamations I heard.
Now, I have been posting a lot this week. There's been a lot going on. I think one of the biggest things this week has been, I'm going to call it now the stupid tube shooter, because this story, there was a story a day or two ago that a vegan woman YouTube terrorist went in and shot up the ding-dongs at YouTube's headquarters in St. Bruno, California. And I really didn't give this too much thought because we had our own brouhaha here at fakeologist.com where we were in 7 and 3 and 4 hour audio chats because we had a big event happen at Fakeologist, which we'll probably get into if we can. But I was just watching a quick video on this YouTube shooter, and my conclusion is this hoax, no doubt in my mind it was a media hoax, a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. This was done probably by the B or even C team of the hoaxers. This one is really weak, really bad. I'm going to play this news clip. It's 3 minutes. I just want you to hear it.
And a YouTube content creator, but why did she do it? Hey guys, it's Allie for Hollywood Life, and I think our whole YouTube community is in shock after someone entered the giant YouTube headquarter campus in San Bruno, California with a handgun and opened fire.
The shots rang out just before 1 p.m. Tuesday, lunch hour for hundreds of workers at YouTube's headquarters.
We have a report of subject with a gun. They heard 7 to 8 shots being fired. This will be from the YouTube building.
Police responding to the active shooter in minutes, racing onto the YouTube campus along with SWAT teams and paramedics as terrified employees streamed out of the complex with their hands raised.
3 people were shot, 2 women and a man who is critically injured. The shooter has taken her own life and has now been identified as 39-year-old Nasim Agdam. And the weirdest part, authorities say she herself was a YouTube creator. It's super rare that a woman goes on this kind of rampage. According to Statista, an online database, of the nearly 100 mass shootings in the U.S. since 1982, only 2 have been committed by women. Listen to how weird this fact sounds on the police dispatch call.
That's like a female in a white shirt.
So confirming she is the suspect?
Confirmed, that's what we were told.
Women, in fact, only account for 10 to 13% of all homicides in the U.S. overall. So this indeed is an outlier event. But what drove Agdam to do this? And who is she? Well, her brother, who wants to remain anonymous, has spoken out and said his sister hated YouTube. He apparently even called police and warned them that she might do something like this when she went missing for a few days before the shooting. It's unclear if Agdam knew any of the victims, but it's likely they were targeted at random. Agdam herself was an animal rights activist and also ran a vegan Instagram account, but mostly she was a truly strange YouTuber.
I could show you hidden things, pain, sadness, hair, crying, cyber food, oh my brain, look at that hip, it looks like your next heart attack.
All her pages have been deactivated, but she had grievances against the site for censorship and demonetization.
I'm being discriminated and filtered on YouTube. See that my new videos hardly get views, but this is because I'm being filtered. Age restricted, my app workout video. A video that has nothing bad in it. Singers like Nicki Minaj, Miley, and many others who have sensual scenes so inappropriate for children to watch. Don't get age restricted.
I'm going to pause it right there because if you can stand watching this video, at 2:49, they have one of the worst sim-created... obviously, they created it. She's a video. This video is using some kind of CGI software. It is really awful. It's just her face and the movements are absolutely... Looks like they used a very slow computer.
Police closed in on Agdam in the courtyard of the YouTube campus. Eyewitnesses report she was screaming, "Come and get me." This before she turned the gun on herself. Now, we all have grievances with YouTube. Demonetization and censorship affect us too. It's harder than ever to earn a living on the platform, but you have to make good content here to make money. Agdam's content was weird and low quality at best. She seems unstable, likely mentally ill, and her belief that it was some conspiracy keeping her from YouTube fame seems to have caused this tragedy. We stand with our friends at YouTube. The right to make and post videos is not a right to make popular videos and to be rich and famous. This is a community we love, and violence is obviously never how we solve problems here. Give us a subscribe over here. This is probably all we'll be saying about this, and I hope YouTube will review its security and do more to keep its employees safe in this scary world of mass shootings.
No, I had to play that whole thing. I'm sorry. I had to play that whole thing. That was so disturbingly stupid and weak. Just pathetic. Just absolutely pathetic. They throw all the stupid memes and themes that we've talked about, demonetization, the whole vegan thing comes up. Faye,
what's wrong with that? I don't understand anything of this whole video.
Well, they play a little bit of rap music in the background. She's a vegan. She's an Iranian suppressed.
She's Muslim also. You
forgot that? They never said that, but she's from Iran, so chances are she's Muslim.
And for sure she's also Jew?
No, I doubt it. I don't know if there's too many Jews in Iran. But no, they played up the Muslim terrorist, vegan, female, sim. I mean, they throw every little thing in here to get people's attention. Yeah. This one is pathetic. I'm sorry. And just like that bubbly little dingbat newscaster said there, this is probably the last we'll talk about it. But... Just pathetic, sorry.
I agree completely with you on that. And I think I have the right topic to continue.
All right. I get the prompt.
Look, I have something that I think is really fits with that.
Okay.
Previous... quote-unquote stupid story.
Okay.
It's an update on the Parkland shooting.
Okay.
We had developments there. James Fetzer, in cooperation with Ole Damegard, managed to get to the permission for the March for Our Lives, which was prepared months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is written on that paper, which I'm going to upload.
I haven't been listening to Jim Fetzer all that much. Well, actually, I haven't listened to him at all. There's been so much good content out there. He's not among them.
And this is also not among them because if you read this application now for the March for Our Lives, it says that it has been prepared months ago.
Yes, I heard that.
But it has several, you know, I read one phrase only. If you are requesting additional information, reference this event, please follow the below steps to file your freedom of information request at blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. So do we believe this is real? Do we believe this little tidbit is real? This is the question.
No, I don't believe this is real. And, okay. The same opinion shares also Lift the Wheel.
Lift the Veil. This could be what we call conspiracy candy, where they leave little pieces of chocolates for people to pick up and rot their teeth as they put it in their mouth. Maybe.
I'm not sure if it's really a candy because mm-hmm. it's a little bit bitter. It's really stupid as an information. It doesn't say anything concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And Lift the Wheel makes a big YouTube out of that.
Oh, did he?
Exclusive information. And I'm the only one. And I do now Lift the Wheel upon that information, which was wrong.
Yeah.
I just put the link into the live stream of that.
Put it in the live stream show notes, if you don't mind. We do have two text channels. So if you could put that into the live stream show notes, that would be fantastic. Okay.
I would just say one word more. I think that is a case of ridiculous hoax management.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Parkland shooting hoax.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Lift the Veil. He's really dry to watch. So I try and listen to the audios when I remember to download them. But because I think he just puts the audio portion in a podcast feed that I load into my podcast player. I use Beyond Pod for Android. Beyond Pod, it still works pretty well, although you have to go back a few versions to get the one that actually works. But overall, he's interesting. He's a little too dry for me, but it's fun when he has phone callers call in, and he does a pretty good job managing the software, taking calls and whatnot. Shall we move on?
Yes.
And we only have 55 minutes, so we have to move quickly. Obviously, the big YouTube or Stupid Tube or You Shooter was the mainstream media's big story this week. I think it happened Monday or Tuesday. I don't even remember. It doesn't even matter. But let's talk about, Faye, the other big YouTube star that was brought to our attention. And that,
La Chica,
I have to admit, she is very easy on the eyes, and as a hot-blooded male, unfortunately, I'm a sucker for dangerous curves, as apparently she was. And on her motorcycle, she took a curve too fast, and over the side of the mountain she went and died. And the only reason this is brought to our attention is the great John Adams, who many of us admire and contribute to, and does the podcast with Chris at hoaxbusterscall.com, or has for the last couple of years. He brought this to our attention, and because it was John Adams, most people gave him the benefit of the doubt that he or his wife knew this person, and basically he was trying to show us that this is a real story because it didn't get too much play in the media. And I was just expecting to find a regular person in the link, but obviously it doesn't take much talent or investigative abilities to find her, and she turns out to be a pretty hot Latina that does motorcycle vlogs, which I watch vlogs, and I suppose there's every type of vlog where you can stick a GoPro camera into, but I had no idea it was a thing. And then she's part of this Red Ravens motorcycle group, and they're those two other fairly curvaceous young women with lots of paint and plastic, as SMJ said in the Discord audio chat, and they're doing promoting women on motorcycles. And to me, this is a little bit different than just the average person that you know that died. She is, in my mind, a YouTube sensation in her own way. And she's not just anyone, because she's also, as you, if you could do some quick research, part of the Acorn Media Communications Group, which I'm not exactly sure. I guess that's just a boutique advertising agency. But she is not just the average woman. So, therefore, as much as I like John Adams, I'm sorry, this has to go through the fakeologist grill, and it doesn't really pass in my mind. There are just too many problems, and this was the subject of a very large audio chat that I posted yesterday, 7 hours, and even before that, I think we were talking about it. So, what do you say about this? I'm sure you don't look at her the same way, being a female.
Why? No, I don't. I look at exactly the same way.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yes, of course. Yes, I mean, good images are good images, and they are always interesting. And she's a very attractive person, let's say. Mm-hmm. I will start at another point. I was from the whole story not convinced, because if John, whom I love as a contact here in the fakeologist community, we have great talks together, and I like to listen to him also. One can learn enough or much from him. But I was not convinced with the art that he brought this topic into the community. Mm-hmm. It was not clear that he wanted just to express something. For my understanding, he wanted to raise a debate, but he didn't raise the debate by making a proposal. He just made an avant-gardistic move, as we say in some other contexts. Mm-hmm. An avant-gardistic move is a move which...
Is that antagonistic?
No, it's not antagonistic, it's avant-garde.
Avant-garde, okay.
Avant-garde. It's a military term, actually, but it has occupied the sphere of arts also.
Okay.
And it means that if someone does such an avant-gardistic move, everyone has to position. It's a move to which you cannot just not say anything. And that was the art that he brought it into the community, and that is my first critique on him. And besides that, the material that I saw was quite simple, not convincing that this person firstly really drove a motorbike. Mm-hmm. I never saw any sequence where she is on the motorbike recognizable.
Okay, that's very good.
She makes, yep. She
I was going to ask the same thing.
She makes movements in some of these videos, parking the bike or getting on the bike or getting off the bike. Mm-hmm. And I personally have many women friends who... drive big bikes.
Oh, wow.
And I know how they behave.
Oh, this is good. You've got
like
more. Oh, very good. You know, that's the problem. I have to admit, as a fairly superficial person, I've been totally distracted by the other things in the video. And you're looking at different things because you even have experience knowing people of the female order that ride motorcycles. So that's quite interesting. These are highly produced videos, by the way. Would you agree with
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
They're not your average. Yeah.
No. No. She's not a typical woman that rides a motorbike, let's say it like that.
Now, I've tried to create videos, and I have to say that I don't have good equipment. I don't really have any equipment, just my phone, like everyone else in this world. And I get a lot of wiggle and jiggle, pardon the pun regarding this, and I don't get high production values. And I do watch another video blogger called Casey Neistat, who we've exposed as certainly working for the wrong side. And he says he does his own video editing, and he said he was doing it every single day. And when I watched how much effort it takes just to do any kind of editing. I am pretty sure he's lying, and he does have a large team doing it, and a team that's very professional at that, because he's, to me, one of the top YouTubers. And this woman here definitely looks like she has quite the team editing up these clips, especially since you just said that I'm missing some of the... I'm even missing the fact that she may not have been riding that very high-speed race bike.
Yes, in my understanding, she is actually a professional of digital communications since 2012.
Which is YouTube?
Yes, I don't know exactly. I'm not sure. I have the info somewhere. I can put it later in the stream. Then in March 2018, she started working for a new company. In LinkedIn, her profession is also communication, digital communications manager.
Yeah.
She does promotions for these motorbikes, so it is possible that she is able to ride motorbikes, but to ride these motorbikes in that sequences that we see, you have to be really professional motorbike driver, and it is not convincing that she took some lessons with her boyfriend, who is also a very suspicious profile on the social media.
Okay.
I have only an hypothesis because I don't know it. If it's otherwise, I have to understand it. And yeah, in my understanding, this is a promotion action. It was a promotion action which was running some years, maybe 2 or 3 years about. And it has to end sometime because this actor has to do other jobs also. So she has to disappear from that social environment that she has created with all the fans and the promotions of articles.
So this is our opinion based on the fact, even if John Adams just brought this to us as a story where he was not related, this is the opinion we would give based on the information we have that the media has provided us. This is no offense or slight to John in any way, because we like and respect John. But when a story like this is brought to us, this is how we analyze the stories. So we're being very Spock-like on this. It's very unemotional, very detached. We are just looking at what we have. And in light of the fact that the first story we talked about tonight was a YouTube star, a YouTube wannabe star using all the minor themes of vegan, Muslim, woman, sim-like, disenchanted with demonetization or YouTube suppression, and YouTube, make no doubt, is the number one media source in the world right now. And the whole point of this blog is to expose the idea that the media is the number one weapon being used around the world against the citizens of this world. And the media is the weapon. Forget the media is the message. The media is the weapon, and that's what we're trying to expose here. So we have one YouTube story that is the biggest in the media for a day or two, and we have this minor story that John brings to us, and the parallels are very, very, very close. Even though one's...
Something that Unreal brought, actually, in his new... Opened thread in the comment section of ecologist.com.
Yes.
He's raising very important questions, and I agree that these questions have to be discussed. They are very interesting, and they hopefully bring some insights. One of the points he raises is that the trustworthiness of the person that brings an information about an event that is in the media. And on this point, I would like to say that the trustworthiness of John does not suffer if he makes a mistake or if he understands later that he was wrong. Maybe he was not, but it is not a criterion for John. It needs seriousness on both sides. So, yeah, that was just a comment.
All right. So, yeah, so we have the post. We have audio chats on this subject. We have a forum thread being created by Unreal. They're all linked on fakeologist.com. You can find the links on the right side for the forums. You can find them on the top. You can find the last 10 comments made on the different threads. And, of course, you can suck all these into your Feedly or any RSS reader and bring them in automatically so you don't miss any of them. There's so many ways to get this content. And, of course, we have the audio chat. All right, your turn.
My turn. I don't have music because I don't know how to make music here in the live stream, but you will teach me.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get you set up. We will set you up, no doubt.
Super. But for now, I just mention it that there is a very nice song or piece of music from Nightmares on Vox.
Okay.
Rollo might know them.
Okay.
And the song is called I Have a Dream.
You can put the link in the live stream show notes if you want. I'll play it.
I don't have the link now of that because I don't mention it only because I Have a Dream has an anniversary today.
It's I Have a Dream. That's not the ABBA song. So who's the song by?
Ah, the ABBA have also one. Nightmares on Vox.
Nightmares.
WAX.
Nightmares on Vox?
Yes.
Is that a band?
Yeah.
Nightmares on Wax.
Ah, Wax. Okay. I'm sorry.
Nightmares on Wax. I Have a Dream. Okay. I've never heard of that. Okay.
It's the MLK text, of course.
Okay.
It was the intro for the MLK 50 years anniversary.
Okay.
That was today in Europe, is today in America, in the Americas, and was yesterday in Australia and Asia. On 4th April 1968, he was shot 6:01 in the morning. 6:01.
Gets up early. Gets up early, and usually the speeches are at night. Okay, yeah, honestly, that went unannounced over here. I didn't hear one thing about that. I never heard one thing about that, honestly.
And it's 50 years anniversary.
Isn't that something?
Civil rights movement and anti-war movement, and he was a very big figure.
Oh, 6:01 p.m.
Ah, p.m. Oh,
yeah. I'm reading your notes.
Past midday, yeah. I'm always confused with this American time science. Yes, he was a very great inspiration for many young people all over the world, the Western world at least. And 50 years anniversary is something big. I saw that some newspapers in Europe mentioned it, and The Guardian had a big live stream with events that are happening all around the world. Yes, and the topic is that it is not sure that MLK died.
Mm. Okay, it's the third story on Google News over where I am right now at the Los Angeles time.
Is it?
Okay, yes, I just saw it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's already the fifth there? Or is it still
the fourth? No, it's still the fourth, but it just came out in the Los Angeles Times 1 hour ago. Okay, so there was some kind of walk or march or whatever in Los Angeles.
Yes. The true story is not deeply researched, I would say. The deepest research that I have found is on Clues Forum on that topic, where many of the participants participate in an analysis of the imagery that was published on April the 12th, 1968. That is 8 days later in the Life magazine. I will put the photos in the live stream.
Yeah,
the and Lux is the one who in 2012 for the first time. That's also incredible. So late that someone came to the idea that it could have been fake, staged. And so
So really the Cruz Forum is really the only place where you see any information on this being a staged event. That's interesting.
Yes, I didn't find anything else. Somewhere else? Just a minute, I would like to get the picture.
Actually, Guy is making some nice show notes for us, so you don't probably have to do anything. He's dropping them all in the show notes on the Discord server.
Cool.
If you're just listening to this as a recording, please note that we've been pretty consistent the last three or four times where we do show up live on Fakeologist Radio 2. Just Google Fakeologist Radio 2 or search for Fakeologist Radio 2 or go to fakeologist.com/radio2. We are live. We don't take calls because we only have 55 minutes, but you can listen live if you want, although listening live is a very... People just don't listen live to or watch anything live anymore. But if you want to leave a few comments or just follow along live, you can do that. Okay, so we have a note at the Cruz Forum.
Yes, I was now a little bit absorbed because I wanted to upload the photos, but it's not possible with that format that I have. Okay, I will do that later.
Okay.
The analysis that Cruz Forum does is very interesting and convincing. That these first images that were published after the alleged assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. Were a prior form of Photoshop. Photoshop is a program that does electronically some... manipulations on imagery.
Yes.
But in prior stages of the photographic techniques, they had to do all these things really like a handcraft, like in the studio.
You had to be more of an artist or photo artist. Yes. Mm-hmm.
They were,
photography, to make a composite, it was cut and paste. It was cut and paste in a lot of ways. Or you could take a picture of a piece of a picture and then project it onto a photographic piece of paper and compose it that way. That was really how you glued pieces of images together. It was very painstaking work, very difficult to create borders and I did a little bit about when I did black and white photography back in the day when I was a photographer doing my own developing. And it's tricky. And it's a real art form. If you can call Photoshop an art form now because the computer does so much of the painstaking work that was so hard to do. And that just means more people can do it more easily. But back in the day when they were probably... in the intelligence agencies creating these fake pictures. First of all, they're not going to make that many because they take so much work. And it would be a lot harder to hide and smudge mistakes. That's probably why the Zapruder film took so long to come out. Even though they could have probably done it ahead of time, I guess maybe it didn't require it, or maybe they decided to bring it out later just to keep the story going or give the story a really big kick later on. But the
Zapruder, do you have that actually app? The Zapruder film?
I think it's on YouTube. I've never saved it myself. Uh-huh. But that is one of the so-called most analyzed piece of fake footage ever. And they get it right down to the frame. But just know that I don't know exactly how they would have done that fake footage in the 70s, but it would have been similar to faking a picture because all it is moving pictures. But
The coloration of films was also, everything was done by hand. You know, it was.
Yeah, well, yes, and we don't know how they did the Zapruder. The last thing that we posted on fakeologist.com that's now been deleted from YouTube is that they could have employed Jim Henson of the Muppets to create a Muppet-like figure in an actual Lincoln Continental Open convertible and put that in there. See, that would be way easier than doing everything by hand and in artistically. if you could just do a simulation where you're actually in the car, put a dummy in, and then you could maybe fix up the pictures later. So you need a good solid base for the fakery. And that's maybe one way they might have done it, and just moved around the dummy just like they did any other Muppet, with long long arms attached to the dummy, like any other marionette or puppet.
Before we go to the next to the next topic, I would like to make a little test to our audience.
Sure.
We cannot take the answers, but everyone can test himself and herself. Who knows the second phrase of the speech, "I have a dream"?
I have a dream.
Okay. I didn't know it.
So there's a second takeaway text that we're all supposed to have memorized? Is that what you're saying?
No, how does it continue? Everyone knows "I have a dream," but nobody knows what was the dream of Martin Luther King. So I would like to read two phrases of his speech,
sure,
if you agree.
Go.
"I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood." It has two more paragraphs. I stop here.
Well, very good. I think you've done more for the civil rights movement in 2018 than anyone else in Switzerland broadcasting around the world. So,
in Switzerland, for sure.
Unbelievable, and thank you. That's very good. And we had our Black History Month in North America, I believe, February. And anyway, that's very good. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. And just remember, there's no way right now in the world to figure out who is listening or how many people actually listen to this podcast. So if you want to make a donation, if you do not wish to make a donation and just want to let me know that you are listening, feel free to send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com or go to the contact page at fakeologist.com, go to the Discord, leave a note to say that you are listening. That encourages us to come back next week and do a few more. Now, there you go. Now, let me play a clip from, since we're talking about JFK, let me play a clip from
MLK.
Or
JFK, both.
Yeah, MLK. Yeah, I always lump them together. MLK, JFK, RFK. They
three
all
three-letter heroes.
They all went down in the 60s and all in quick succession. And this gentleman here that you're going to listen to has been instrumental. And here he is talking a bit about his book and 9/11.
9/11 happened. 9/11 changed all of our lives. 9/11 was a devastating blow. I lost friends and neighbors from 9/11. Six dads in my children's grade school were killed.
Yeah.
Cantor Fitzgerald, the firm that suffered.
Now, that guy you're listening to is none other than Geraldo Rivera. And he was involved with the JFK hoax management.
Ritual murderer. I'm sorry.
Geraldo Rivera. He's apparently a Puerto Rican born in America. Anyhow, he is supposed to be the investigative journalist that exposes the elites for what they are. And as I posted just recently before the show started, Geraldo Rivera, hoax management media shill. And as A.A. Morris, who has a great podcast and we've interviewed in the past, has pointed out in his episode 17, there is no such thing as the intrepid reporter on the people's side. They are merely placeholders or controlled opposition or media perpetrators. So Geraldo Rivera, as much as we like to think he's going to reveal and expose the elites, no. He is just there as a placeholder, again, to pacify the people that someone is looking after your best interest. Nothing could be further from the truth. And just listening to his 9/11 story, like all the others, is he's just completely making it up. And have you ever heard of Geraldo yourself?
I have never heard of him before, but the 2 seconds I heard previously, I think he's a spiritual murderer.
Absolutely.
He lost so many people on 9/11.
Yes, and as much as the community here at Fakeologist seems to like to mock Dave J, I just take people for the good points, as it were. And if Dave J is genuine, which he could be, we don't know. We don't know his motivations, but he does have a point when these people are, the people that are bringing us these horrible stories day in and day out, they are really actually doing some emotional damage to us. Like, you might not realize if you're talking about death all day, it is going to get to you. There is a spiritual murder going on if you want to parse his words down to what they actually mean. So even though he's angry and hostile to anyone who comes before him, do you think he's making a point?
I believe that, yes. Actually, I listened to the talk that you had afterwards with him in that audio chat and was very interested in his ideas, especially concerning 9/11, because from my own experience, I can compare and say that I see really a difference. I see a difference that has to do with the occupation of, let's say, the functions of discerning reality from imagination or from fiction, etc. It was impacted by 9/11 and searching for what happened really and how can I organize my understanding of it in another way. I feel much better, I must say. It's kind of a therapy also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't just mock and discount Dave J like so many other fakeologists.
Well, I think he has really to understand that nobody can take it easy if he's called something that he calls. I don't want to repeat it now.
Yes.
John Le Bon, for example, said that he wrote in the on the fakeologist.com website that he knows that he functions like that and he can take it like that. That's also possible, but it's not also not possible for everyone. And for me, it would not be. I would feel maybe, I don't know, hurt or something. Mm-hmm. And then I cannot think, and then I cannot understand him. And the problem is, if he wants to be understood from the others, he has to approach them, maybe like
this. Yes, he has to work on his people skills and his approach to strangers. So yes, I would agree with there. But if you take away a message, that could be a message that maybe talking about this is very depressing. It's not easy. Always talking about death and destruction, and that is our media on a daily basis. There is just no day off when you are subjected to worldwide media. When I know what happens in the backwoods of France all the way to Malaysia to Timbuktu to God knows where, and on a daily basis, it is very difficult for your psyche if you are believing all these stories, which most people in the world do. So shills like...
It's a kind of war. It's a kind of war, I would say.
In an information war, yeah, for sure. It's a war on your psyche. There's no doubt. And if someone isn't dying today, then you're going to be memorializing someone who died last year. And the whole world, including the United States, is a series of endless memorials. So we can grieve every single day of the year, I'm afraid to say.
Yes, wasn't that a term that Dave J brought? The morning and the mourning?
Yes, every day we're mourning.
I liked it very much.
Yeah. So, you know, take Dave J for what he is. He's bringing up some very controversial in your face, slapping you in the head points, because maybe he has been doing this for a long time, and maybe he's just sick of just pussyfooting around and bringing this topic to people gently. Maybe he just needs to just slam people over the head with it because of how long he's been doing it. We have to consider that as well.
Okay, so we will be patient with him.
Well, take everyone for what they bring to the table. Not everyone is going to be a gentle presenter of this information. We all take it in differently. Some of us last longer. Some of us don't even last a few months. We just can't take it and we drop out. And we've seen that over and over again at Faith Colleges. People come and people go. So let's hope Faye of Faye Colleges is here to stay.
I think it's time to bring something funny.
Oh, I like not, funny.
I like funny too, but, you know, it's funny, quote-unquote funny.
Funny ha-ha? Actually,
no, not really ha-ha. It's funny ha-ha, but only if you don't experience it yourself.
Okay.
Or if you are not a ecologist. If you are a ecologist, it's ha-ha. So it is an interesting story, obviously from a regional or local something newspaper in the States.
Okay, regional, yeah.
That, yes, regional.
Where is that? What do you got?
Give me a second. I'm not so fast. That's in the live stream now, in the show notes.
Okay. Oh, you're putting it there. Okay, very good.
Yes.
Random bits of trial and error.
False link.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Oh, Guy has put in Geraldo Rivera's ugly face into the show notes. Oh, and he even puts a 55. Very good. Guy, you're doing very good today. Gaia, of course, of Fakeopedia, and Faye of Fakeopedia as well.
Yes, exactly. And now I have the right link.
All right,
so
what do we got?
Look what happened. Look what happened. Passengers on a board, a United Airlines flight flying from Denver to RSV. You can tell me what that is.
RSW.
Reportedly,
RSW. Where is RSW? Those are airport codes. I don't know all the airport codes.
Something like that. Yeah, from Denver to somewhere. Reportedly saw images from the 9/11 attacks pop up on their video screens during the flight.
RSW, I've been there. RSW is Southwest Florida International Airport in Fort Myers. Yeah, I've been there. Okay, RSW, got it.
Okay. So it's not such a small flight, let's say.
No, that would be a couple hours for sure. Fort Myers in Florida, yep. Mm-hmm.
And they were on that flight, and they were shown on that video projectors that they have in the flights, in the airplanes. They were shown footage of the alleged attacks on the Twin Towers, but not, years ago. It happened on 30 March 2018. And that's a crazy story, isn't it? Do you think it could be a test to evaluate how the passengers react?
Well, first of all, I doubt it happened at all. I think this is just another phony story from start to finish. They always seem to target United. What has United done? Or what complicity is United acting with? Because United seems to get all the bad news airplane stories.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, they get they get the animals that are dead in the overhead compartments, the service animals or the comfort animals. They're getting if you look at United, they get all the punch 'em up passengers where the mm-hmm. I don't believe any of these stories and I definitely doubt
maybe it's advertisement of a very sinister art.
Well,
because
maybe
they are not in the news or something.
Well,
they have
I think
the name in the news.
Well, I think it's just phony information, and it keeps 9/11 in the news every bloody day. I don't even know how I missed the story because I get a 9/11 exclusive feed. And I totally missed the story.
I have now a very good Feedly that supports my search for such stuff.
Yes, you can use Google for searching, and you can have Google just bring up 9/11 stories all day long, which is what I do. Now, I don't look at the 9/11 stories every day because I have other things to do, but occasionally I'll pop over and take a look. And again, I've said this many times, 9/11 is in the news every single day, maybe five times a day, five different stories. So again, this is probably a story created by the B or the C team. Not the top high level capstone events, hyper realistic drill portrays reels. These are just where they put out these phony stories. There's just no actual people referenced except maybe a few phony names thrown in, as in Bill Benedetto. And I think it's just to keep your mind thinking about these nasty spiritual murdering themes all day long. Yeah. I really do. I doubt there was any movie or any, I don't even know what 9/11 images they were talking about. They don't even put that in there. It's not important. They use your brain to fill in the blanks. They give you the broad strokes. You fill in the details. You use your own information in your own head to feel bad about it. They don't have to say anything. They don't have to put any detail.
Just push a button and then everyone is fearful and say, okay, we obey.
Well, everyone is in a constant state of fear, just like the United States is in a constant state of war. It's just a constant stress. And you combine that with the bad food and all the poisons we're eating and maybe meat as well. I don't know. And it's going to kill people a lot earlier than they need to die. In reality, that to me is a reality. I believe. I really believe that stress does kill. And if it isn't your workplace stress or your traffic stress or your relationship stress, well, the media is there to fill it in for you and give you the final knockout punch to knock you down. I really do believe that. So all these phony stories are all part of it.
Yeah.
And I've said over and over again, and almost every story in the media is fake. It's crazy to believe, but if you wiped out all the phony stories in our media, there'd be almost nothing to read. It's crazy.
What could be actually a function of the media in a, let's say, good society? Only the parties they would announce, or the marriages, or the births of children, or
and it would be pretty pedestrian, pretty boring stuff, but it wouldn't be negative, and probably wouldn't sell media. Now, I know the purpose of media is not sales anymore, because the money is from the actual consumers is dried up, because we're all used to free stuff off the internet. So that's not the goal anymore. The goal is not to sell newspapers or sell ads so much, I don't think. The money comes from the military, and it's used to really influence the people.
But when it doesn't come from the military, it's a C-movie. It's a C-production.
Well, the military has contractors that do all the work. I'm not saying that the guy's all dressed up in uniform with his assault rifle beside him. Well, that money is contracted out to all the little firms, the authors, you know, the people that write fiction. These people all take military contracts that are probably somewhat repackaged and distributed just as normal business. But the money does.
This idea, you know, that the military is a compact institution and closed, etc., that's not actual. The actual, I think, image would be that it has really occupied all the institutions, and it influences through budgets and resources. It influences all the institutions, the academy, the markets, the think tanks, everything that exists. So it's not...
Well,
it's military modus of everything. It's a militarized society, let's say.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me this week, Faye. It's been fantastic. Stay on the line. We'll do an after show, or we'll talk a bit after. I want to close this 55 minutes cool. out with a pretty, we've seen these videos before. This one is a pretty good one about how the military media is strictly controlled. It's super concentrated. It's only owned by a few corporations, and they're all reading from the same script.
I am Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubled news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.